What's up, everybody? Today, my guest is Mark Nunziato, the owner of Zio & Co., which specializes in custom clothing like suits, coats, shirts, and more. This is 007, episode 007, or should I say 007, just like James Bond, so it's very fitting, pun intended, that we talk style and fashion today. James Bond, he was always looking sharp, and probably why he had the confidence to beat people up in a suit. Sounds awesome, though. I hope someday I get to beat somebody up in a suit. Okay, so take a listen and learn a bit about the custom fitting process and how you can look your best in any situation. And why should you? Well, it's called fashion. Ever heard of it?
You have tuned into the microphone.
And welcome. This is episode 007, lucky number 7. And I am here with...
Mark Nunziato.
Where are we right now?
We're at the Sinclair Building, 465 Washington Street, Buffalo, New York, baby.
That's right. Coming off a Bills victory. Did you watch the game?
Oh, yeah.
Quite a comeback by Josh Allen and the boys.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to have you on because I get my haircut here. What's the name of the social club that you guys call it here?
So the social club we got here is Il Molino. I guess a little backstory on that, if you want.
Yeah.
Jared and I kind of came together and created this space. We really wanted to make sure that we brought both of our businesses involved. And Il Molino means the mill in Italian. So it kind of works out, you know. I work with fabric mills for my business, custom clothing. But if you look up the definition of the mill, it's cut, grind, and, you know, we're going to have coffee here. We're going to, you know, obviously cutting hair,
right,
cutting
right.
fabric, all that. So, you know, kind of nice to tie it all in. And it flows. It flows really nicely.
Yeah, it's nice. I've been getting my hair cut by Jared for a few years now. Mm-hmm. And then when he moved over to this location, that's when I met you. Saw everything that you were doing. Then I started this podcast and wanted to get you on.
Absolutely. I appreciate you getting me on.
Yeah, definitely. So what is the name of your company?
My personal brand is Zio & Co. Custom Clothiers. So we specialize in custom suits mainly, but we do overcoats, shirts, pants. Well,
you do overcoats.
Everything.
I do need an overcoat.
Yeah. Oh, we always need one in the winters here.
Yeah, and I'm sure the requests come in a little quicker in the fall because winter's upon us.
Oh, yeah.
So how long have you had the brand Zio & Co.?
We actually just hit our two-year mark this month. Nice. I started in September 17. At that point, I just started it from home. I did mainly offices, went to clients' houses.
Oh, nice.
It's nice for them, and I know a lot of custom clothiers do that, but for me, it was all I had, so I made sure I did it best I could and made it as easy as I can for the client.
How did you get started into custom clothes?
Pretty randomly, actually. I was finishing, actually, my international business degree at Buff State. I was really coming close to graduating. I was like, you know, I really don't know where I'm going to go from here, which I know most people my age went through that.
How old are you?
I'm 24.
Young 24.
Yeah, that's it.
And young buck.
And after that, you know, I was like, what do I really like and what do I enjoy? And literally wrote down a list of different things I enjoyed. And from that list, obviously, you take out the things that you can't monetize. So,
sure.
You know, the really exciting and fun stuff. But dressing nicely was on there. I've always liked to dress nice, in my adult life at least. And it really just, I was like, all right, I'm going to become an actual tailor and get down behind the scenes, actually make these clothes.
That's cool.
And after I did more research on that, found out I'd have to do another about 7-year apprenticeship.
I was about to say, did you have to do an apprenticeship? Or I'm sure you found out there's a lot more to it than what you first thought.
Yeah, a lot more. And honestly, after that, I was like, all right, well, you know, there's other people in clothing, so I want to see... I want to see exactly what I can do. So I did an internship in New York City.
How old were you then?
21, I want to say.
Yeah.
21. You know, I reached out to probably 40 people on Instagram. And
that's the way to do it.
Just found websites.
Just keep shooting your shot.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, only of course I only got about 5 responses back.
Dude,
but
5 is better than 0. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I do the same thing with like guests on this podcast, and I'm just gonna keep shooting.
Of course.
You never know.
You have to, man. And of those 5, 3 of them really panned out to be great, great contacts for me. And
awesome.
When I started working in New York City, I did it for free. I had to pay for a living, all that stuff. So it was tough.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was definitely tough. But
wow.
It's obviously all worth it now. So
who did you intern for in New York City? Was it just another tailor shop or a custom clothes?
Yeah, so the shop is called Robbie & Co. It's on West 35th. Right in Garment District too. It was,
really?
The
so
setting.
It's where you'd want to be.
Yeah, the setting was just perfect, man.
Right.
And honestly, a lot of stuff from Il Molino. The whole space was had a little idea between Jared and I through Robbie & Co. and what my experience is there. He did off the rack suits and wedding parties and stuff like that.
Right.
Had the pool table and the bar.
Oh,
but
okay.
On a New York City scale, so it was tiny. It was a tiny little shop.
Yeah, I can't imagine how much this place upstairs would cost
in
Manhattan. It'd be insane.
Oh, especially ground floor and all that. It'd be crazy.
Yeah. So up there is is your space for the custom clothing. There's the barbershop spot with Jared and his guys. Yep. There's a bar out front. There's a huge TV. There's a pool table. And there's the most elaborate Connect Four game that I've ever seen. Where the, I don't know, are they coins? What
no,
are
I
they?
Think it's, I think it's just metal.
Just metal
disc. Yeah.
Disc, but they're made out of metal, and it's really high tech.
Really high tech.
Yeah. So before I get my hair cut out, I'll play Jared in an intense game of Connect Four.
It does get intense. I'll be completely honest with you. Sometimes I don't leave the table happy. I'll be completely honest.
Right. Yeah. I think you were telling me about a story or a story you wanted to tell about your backstory or
the time in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's when you first told me about getting on the podcast, immediately just a funny story popped in my head that, the only thing it really has to do with the clothing is the fact that I was living in Hoboken when I did my internship. So
yeah,
the one night my buddy and I were out for a night of drinking, and our one friend was in from Buffalo. So the three of us were out and we're partying, we haven't seen each other all together in a long time. So we're getting after it. And I'm telling you right now, just the series of events that happened when I was over in Hoboken, I could have wrote a book about it just because you would never expect them to happen just on a daily, in your normal life. But
of course, you were there for a year, so there's a lot of time for things to happen.
Basically, I get a call from the guy that I was living with, and he said, "Hey man, there's actually a sinkhole outside of our building."
What? How big? Yeah. As big as a car can fall through?
Yeah, I didn't know. And I was like, okay. I was like, so what do you mean there's a sinkhole? He's like, I don't know. The police and the fire department blocked off the whole street, and we can't even get into the building. We had to evacuate the building.
Wow.
And I thought he was messing with me. I was like, right. I just hung up on him. I was, we were out, so I was just like, all right, yeah, okay. He calls me back and he's like, "No, I'm serious, dude. You can't get any of your stuff and all this." And I'm like, "Oh my god!" So finally, when the night's over, I didn't let it ruin the night. So
Wait, did you say were you home at the time or were you outside of? Trying to get home?
Yeah, I was out,
okay,
so I was at the bar, and he called me, and I was,
all right.
And I just didn't believe him. So we got back, and I'm like, I told the Uber driver, I was like, "Hey, can you pull over just right here?" He's like, "Yeah, I can't get on the street though." I was like, "Yeah, I know, dude. I already got the call about it."
A sinkhole.
Yeah. And we get there, there's a padlock drilled onto the door. Like the police or the fire department put a lock on the door to the apartment building so nobody could get in. Like, cause they literally evacuated it and made sure nobody could get back in.
It's like a scene of a crime.
Yes, I was just really confused, man. So I use the key, I open the door, but the padlock obviously,
stopping
it. But I'm like, I look at my buddy Pete.
And you're like, let's...
I go,
break in.
I looked at him, I was like...
Let's break in.
I was like, dude, we could knock this door down.
Oh,
and
man.
Of course, at the time, we had a couple drinks flowing.
It's probably two in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Easily. And, thought it was a good idea.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, dude, get ready for this one. We both buck up and smash through this door first try. I fall on the ground. He falls on top of me. And I was like, I was like, wow, that was actually a lot easier than I thought.
Yeah. It's just like the movies. It just falls down in the one shot.
Now, I'm in a full suit. I scuffed up these pants. I just gotten... Nothing's custom at this point. I'm still wearing, you know, Macy's stuff.
Still dressing nice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we knocked down this door. So now I'm looking at him like, all right, now what? Like, what do we do? So we both looked at each other like, we got to get upstairs, get our stuff.
Right.
Or my,
I thought you were going to say, well, I got to go to sleep.
I'm done. No. So I sprint upstairs, and of course, there's no elevator or anything. So it's six stories up.
All right, not too bad.
Yeah, sprint up the stairs.
Yeah.
I grab my duffel bag. I just throw in a bunch of stuff, sprint downstairs, and I'm out the door. We go to his place.
Yeah.
Now, the next morning comes up, and obviously, I'm all groggy, all that. But I walk to my bag, grab the duffel, I unzip it. In the heat of the moment, I packed about 17 different dress shirts. No underwear.
No underwear.
No toiletries.
Sure. That's all you needed is your dress shirts.
Dress shirts and a pair of shoes. And I was like, I looked at my buddy. I'm like, dude, we might actually be the biggest idiots this side of the Hudson right now. And so I called my boss I was working with. I was like, dude, honestly, even if I told you the story right now, you wouldn't believe it. So... luckily he was really cool with it, and I told him about it and he was laughing. But yeah, it was just honestly it was just out of a movie, man. It was something that I'll never forget, and I'll definitely tell my kids about.
Knocking down breaking through a door.
Yeah, it was just funny, man.
I hope I get to do that someday. That'd be sweet. I don't know why, but this always happens on my podcast where like you'll tell a story or someone will tell a story and I'll just trigger a story of mine of like something I did when I was younger. Like especially like being out and like young and dumb. But there used to be Sal's Pizza on Main Street next to the Steer. So this is probably when you were like 13, maybe.
Jeez, yeah. I wasn't going out yet. Yeah,
because I'm 39. So this is 18 years ago. So you were six.
Yeah, jeez.
All right, so we're in there. We're getting a piece of pizza after we had been out drinking. And then one of my friends looks at the exit door of the pizza shop, and he's like, yo... Let's take that gumball machine with us. So there was like a single stand and just like the most basic looking gumball machine, just one little cylinder, gumballs in it. And so he just walks by it, just puts his arm around it and just lifts it up. We walk out. No one says anything. And we put it in a car, and you put it in his dorm at UB, and we had a gumball machine the rest of the year.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. But I don't think sales is there anymore, so... No harm, no foul.
Yeah. And Sal, if you're listening, we'll let you know where that is.
Yeah, and I don't know, but I won't talk. I won't give out any names because it wasn't me. I know that much. Mm-hmm. I was a witness, but it wasn't me.
That's it.
Yeah, so if anybody hears some ice, we are having a few sips of some bourbon. This is Old Granddad.
100 proof.
100 proof.
Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey.
Yeah, so we're just having
they
a
get
few
right
sips.
To the point.
Yeah, they really do. And there's a picture of Granddad right on the bottle.
Oh, yeah. He hasn't lied to us yet.
No, so. Not yet. It's a high rye mash. What is it? I'm such a novice. High rye mash bill bonded Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey.
Yeah, all I know about is it tastes good and
it's
getting
pretty
the
good.
Job done.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. So you do custom clothing.
Yeah.
What's the basic, like if someone were to come in, they need a suit, let's say they just need a suit, they just need a jacket and pants. What's the, and they want to design their lining. Mm-hmm. They want to obviously choose colors. Then they kind of added like colored thread stitching, I would assume around like some, what do you call these?
Lapels.
That the button goes in.
A buttonhole.
A buttonhole?
Yeah.
I thought there'd be some special name for it. I guess not. So what's the basic process?
So basically, and I'm glad you asked because I know for a fact there's a lot of people out there that...
There's a ton of people that don't know this. And even
just don't know.
Even I don't know this because I've never had a custom suit made. So just take me through that briefly if you can.
Honestly, for years there was... I guess I'll give you a little history of it. For years there's been, you know, people think like... Oh, a custom suit. I'm in it for $2,000 or $1,500 or you know.
Yeah.
But luckily, the technology, and with the world becoming so small now that it's custom suits are just as attainable as your Men's Warehouse or your Macy's suits.
Right.
You know,
right.
and you're gonna get a better fit delivered. You pick your fabric. It's a better process all around.
Yeah.
And on top of it, you connect with somebody, you know, and that somebody would be me, obviously, with my business. And,
sure.
You know, my service is always going to be there for any of my clients. But basically, once we schedule an appointment, first things first, I kind of sit down, and if you're a new guy or girl, kind of sit down and get to know you a little bit. You know, it's
have a conversation.
Yeah,
first.
Have a little conversation with them, because one, obviously, I want to do business with you forever going forward.
Right.
You know, so I don't want it to just be, you know, first name basis.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know about, you know, family, kids,
sure,
what you do, all that stuff. So kind of sit down the first time, go over what they need the suit for. You know, because there's guys that
are like more specific.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And they only wear suits for work. So, okay, now you're going to pick a little bit maybe of a thicker fabric or something like that, a little bit more durable. You know, there's differences in that.
Right.
You know, people that only wear sport coats. There's people that, you know, need custom pants made. They, you know, there's a lot of options that you have.
Sure.
And obviously being custom, you have to be able to do all of those things. So
yeah.
Basically you sit down, go over what you need it for. Go through the style, actually, of the suit. So you pick lapels, like you said, the button threads.
Right.
Button thread and buttonhole thread are two different things.
There we go. Yeah. There we, that's what I was going for.
Yeah. Buttonhole thread is obviously the actual buttonhole, and then button thread is the thread actually holding the button down, like on shirts mainly.
Right, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, and all that you customize. I mean, everything, when I say it's customizable all the way literally down to the thread, it's very
yeah,
true.
Yeah, it's probably a lot more customizable than people think.
Oh, a lot more.
Definitely, and assume.
Honestly, man, people, I actually have to make sure that anything I show people is condensed extremely. Because
oh, I bet.
I could sit there for 3 hours with people and go over options and go over, you know, different styles that people definitely in America wouldn't even want to
right.
do.
Yeah.
But on top of it, they don't even know what it is.
They don't even know it existed.
Half the time, I'd just be explaining it.
Is it ever overwhelming when they see all the different choices?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Most of the time, for the first time people, it definitely is. When you think of suits, you think of obviously the big box stores. And,
yeah.
and they just have whatever they have. And you kind of conform your style and your thought process to what they have.
And what's available.
Yeah, and what's
yeah.
available.
Yeah.
And your size, all that.
Sure.
Versus, your size isn't a factor.
Yeah.
The only thing limiting you is, like, what you need the suit for, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I have lawyers that, you know, they want loud suits, but they walk in a courtroom with a loud suit, the judge is automatically
it's
judging
them. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, stuff
yeah,
like
literally.
That. Yeah. Literally, yeah. So once we go through all that, then we get the measurements done. It takes about, you know, 30, 45 minutes, really in detail measurements, and honestly, the product that I'm delivering, I'm definitely been happy with.
Yeah.
Definitely happy with the manufacturer I've been using.
What kind of turnaround time does it take? Let's say, is there like a round two of like an actual fitting and then send back again for alterations? Or is it sometimes you get it in that first shot?
So the first...
Well, I guess you got to worry about fabrics too.
Yeah,
and
so
what they pick.
That fabric and everything, there's fabrics that get there sooner to the manufacturer. You know, some fabric companies are big enough where they ship every day,
yeah,
every other day,
yeah.
And then there's a lot of them actually ship every week. So, you know, that could get a little annoying when you have a deadline, but
mm-hmm.
it is what it is. I guess to go off your other question, I guess the people really, once they pick out their stuff and all that, the turnaround time is usually going to be about 4 to 6 weeks. Usually they've been coming in right around that 4 mark,
yeah.
And shirts have been coming in. I just had a shirt coming in a week and a half. I mean, that's
wow.
it was a great turnaround. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, people for weddings and for events that people are like, I need this suit by this date.
Right.
I usually say about give it at least a month and a half, 2 months.
Sure.
Just to be safe, you know, absolute worst case.
I would think that most people coming in for something custom will kind of expect there to be some type of lead time because it's custom. So, I mean, it's got to be, you know, somewhat obvious. And I think if someone even has the thought that goes in their head that I want something custom, they should probably expect that. But have you ever had to, I don't know, where someone wanted something that was just absolutely impossible to get done within a certain amount of time frame, or are most people pretty much on the same page as far as like how long things take?
You know, I'm one thing, I'm very honest with my client.
Yeah.
Like, very honest. They definitely respect it after the fact. but sometimes they get upset. They're like, oh, well, I wanted this done. And it's just, you said, it can't be done. Like,
right.
I don't want to tell you yes. And then, you know, your date comes up and I'm still like, oh yeah, we're 2 weeks out. You know,
definitely.
That's a terrible business model. So I just tell them, you know, I really control their expectations, you know.
That's good.
So it's once that suit comes in, let's say it takes that 4 to 4 or 6 weeks,
right,
comes in, and from there, it's really just try on. I'd say about with my manufacturer lately, I've been hitting probably around 90% of just.
Oh, that's nice.
Just
about
no
fitting
alterations.
Right away.
Yeah, no alterations. It fits right off the box, right out the box, and I've been thrilled with it. But even so, that first fitting, use that as a first fitting. So, you know,
yeah,
you need a sleeve length and any other of those, you know, that 10% has only been personal preference things like sleeve length or
right. Yeah,
pant
I'm
length.
Sure they have, you know, I like to have my pants at a certain length. Do they ever just say, just tell me what I should get? Like, just tell me what style I need for this. I would assume people just say, just put it all in your hands.
Yeah. Some of the guys that get stuff a lot, they've done custom before me, and you know they've you know I'm working with them now, they'll just be like, I trust you enough, just
right.
do this and make it. And you know, there's some stuff, I did a white tux for somebody and we couldn't he couldn't go back and forth between whether he wanted a peak or a notch lapel, and I was like, you know what, I threw in the third one. I was like, let's do a shawl lapel. If this thing's already white, it's already loud, let's make it real fancy.
So what is a shawl lapel?
A shawl lapel, most people know a notch lapel, which is just a classic. You see literally a little notch
right.
from the collar to the lapel. It's called the gorge, actually. But a peak, it goes a little bit past the collar. The lapel goes a little bit past the collar.
Yep.
And then shawl is just a clean, almost picture like a robe.
Yeah.
How it comes around clean right around the neck.
It's like real
right,
flat.
Yep,
yeah.
Right into the button. So I did that, and I said, let's do this, black satin on the white with all the
Ooh.
Black satin accents, and this thing came out.
That must have looked money.
Yeah, it looked great. And I made sure when I was ironing it out, everything, like, I cleaned surfaces that I never imagined myself cleaning. I was just,
right.
I couldn't let anything get on this jacket.
No, oh, my
so,
God.
Yeah, I walked into the steaming room where I have all the irons and all that stuff. I walked in like I was a surgeon going into surgery because I had my hands up, everything. I didn't touch anything.
Oh, man.
Not even the oil on my face or skin.
Yeah,
or anything. Like,
for sure.
I made sure of it, but.
Oh, man. So with, and I've seen some pictures on your Instagram. And what is your Instagram handle, just so people know?
Instagram handle is Zio and Co. And that's at Zioandco.
Nice. So I've seen some linings where people have picture print of like literally any and everything for like that inside lining for like some custom added detail.
Yeah.
So if people were just to like think of like a topic or a subject, you probably have a lining that would like kind of go with that. Like
absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely tough because some people come in and they want either their business or like NFL teams or NHL teams and stuff like that. And
yeah.
For the most part, we can't do that because the NFL trademark and NHL
sure,
trademark
you
and
don't
all
have
that.
A license
so,
to do it.
Yeah, but right. for the most part, other than that, I'd be shocked if you couldn't find a lining that you fell in love with out of the selection we have, just because it's great fabrics from all over the world. And if there is really nothing that you like, we could always make a custom one printed right on Italian silk in Italy. Like it's quite the thing. I've done that a couple times. One big one was a client of mine, and he wanted his dog all on the inside. So
really?
I just got high quality pictures of his dog.
There you go.
Made the whole thing. He
that's
absolutely loved the suit.
That's sweet.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then I do see that you have a little a sewn in square, just like custom designed for like their name, and then like by Zio and Co.
Yep.
So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, man. It's to make sure that obviously my brand is in there, and because it's my personal branded suits, but you know it's the client's garment, so you want to make sure that you know their name's in there or their nickname or something like that. That makes
it's that
personal
touch.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally, you know, like to keep up with fashion and style as much as I can, as much as I'm able to. But I definitely feel like, and let me know your thoughts about how guys nowadays and women, but mostly guys because I'm a guy and you're a guy, the importance factor of just looking clean and sharp in today's world. There's definitely a lot of guys that maybe just don't know what's possible. You know, maybe a different silhouette on them would maybe look a little better. So what are your, I don't know if you have any thoughts on just like guys who are just uninformed, I guess. Because I feel like doing this podcast will kind of inform a lot of guys. And it's not that they, you know, that I'm like judging how they dress, but there's just, I feel that there's like options where people can look better and just feel, I don't know, I guess I feel, obviously you feel more confident when, especially when you're wearing something custom. And I've never worn a custom suit, so I'm looking forward to doing that at some point. That's got to be an amazing feeling.
Yeah, honestly, I guess first things first, that old saying, you know, you look good, you feel good.
Yeah.
It's absolutely, absolutely true.
100%. I agree with that.
You walk with a different stance. You walk with a different confidence every
you
time.
You run a few more errands that day.
Yeah. You make sure it's seen. Yeah. No, absolutely. I'll stop That's by funny. People's places of work and I'll be like,
yeah,
I was just stopping through. Yeah, just in the neighborhood.
Sure.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
It's 30 minutes out.
Yeah.
I'm working in the falls, Mark. What
exactly.
are you talking about?
Yeah.
There's definitely, and especially in Buffalo, Buffalo is very, very big on the athleisure wear. You know, the athletic wear, they're comfortable though. Like sometimes you definitely have to sacrifice some comforts for some things.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I don't think I'll wear sweatpants to the store. No. And I remember when I first saw, I own them now cause I go to the gym in them, but like super slim sweats. When I first saw them, like on a, I don't know, it was some TV show where it was just like on a runway or something. These guys were wearing slim fit sweatpants. I'm like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And now I have them. They're the most comfortable thing ever. Yeah. And
they look clean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like they look clean. And there's actually, speaking of like how it looks and like kind of like what it represents, I remember seeing an internet meme where it showed a guy wearing a suit and it's like completely baggy, doesn't fit well. And then next to him is a guy wearing a suit where it's super, fitted and
tailored to
tailored to him. And then on the left is the baggy suit, and the caption just says, "Looks like you're going to a court date." And then the other one says, "Looks like you have a career."
Yeah.
So I think that says a lot because people just don't know sometimes.
It does, and honestly, it's so easy to just look that much better and that much cleaner with clothing that fits you. And whatever that is, except cargo shorts, guys. The cargo shorts are out. Save the cargo shorts and pants for the camping trips.
I no longer have cargo shorts in my closet. But, they hold a lot of things, which I guarantee someone is saying that right now. Be like, well, where else am I going to keep my keys with my lanyard on it?
Yeah. Well, get rid of that, too. Because no more lanyards.
Get rid of your lanyard.
99 called and it wants it back.
Because, well, it's funny you say that, because when I was in high school, which is like 97, 98, mm-hmm. I had cargo pants and keys with a lanyard, and I put my keys right in my cargo pocket, let the lanyard hang out, so people knew I had something in there, and the other side was a pager clipped on.
Oh, yeah.
And, I believe it. That's how I roll, but, times have changed. I feel like a lot of the clothes nowadays are getting slimmer and slimmer, but I feel like they're backing off a little bit, maybe in some segments of fashion. I know like some places like they're keeping it slim, but I have seen some, and I'm just basing this off of GQ magazine, where there's been like baggy stuff out there. But do you think that kind of look will come back at some point?
I think, and you said it right too, with GQ. They're always concerned about fashion, and even though it says GQ style, it's always high fashion.
It's so high fashion that every single comment, like on an Instagram post of like GQ, everyone's like, "This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. Like, what is this? Like, I would never wear this."
Yeah, exactly. I always tell my clients that there's a very big difference between fashion and style. Fashion comes and goes each season. I mean, especially Buffalo, New York. That's four times a year.
Yeah, for sure. Like you got to.
That's very, very, they'll get very, very expensive after a while. Keeping up with it on top of that and all this stuff. And honestly, it's just going to get to a point where you wore it when it was in 15, 20 years ago. You really shouldn't be wearing it again when it's, back in style. So I always look at and tell my clients, I tell them, listen, you have to be, your style is going to be timeless. Style is always going to be timeless. And
that's a good, That's a good comparison, fashion and style.
Yeah. Style is just, you know, Frank Sinatra had style.
Yeah.
Dean Martin, those guys had style.
Mm-hmm.
A clean suit and, you know, obviously the fit of the suit comes and goes with different times too. But
right.
I think honestly we're in a time now where a lot of stuff in fashion and in style is going to stick for a good amount of time. Like I said, fashion's going to change, but that style of a fitted suit,
yeah,
I don't think that's ever going anywhere.
Yeah, I feel like we've settled into it. Yeah. And I wonder if, like, during the times, like, the 80s, if people who did, like, suits, there probably wasn't that many, like, custom clothing places because it was kind of like a one-size-fits-all back then because
yeah.
everything was just baggy, so you didn't
yeah.
worry about how something fit. It was just about length, probably.
The big shoulders and all that
shoulder
stuff.
Pads.
Shoulder pads, yeah.
Yeah.
The custom clothing, honestly, just became a thing, I'd say, kind of recently, but it's because, like, custom clothing was the only thing back in the day. Like, so when...
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I guess the term custom clothing came back now because people want to, you know, oh, I got custom stuff on. I got this,
right.
and this. Where back in the day, you know, when our grandparents were wearing, our grandfathers were wearing suits all the time in the summer, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Usually they were made for your grandfather. You know what I mean? Like, they were just
that's
made.
True. Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of it.
Yeah, Macy's and stuff like that. And honestly, the lining that everybody loves now was really an invention of these bigger stores, like Brooks Brothers, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
just to cover up the hatchet job they did
really?
On the inside of the suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it takes a lot more time to make an unstructured or, you know, a quarter-line jacket, which quarter-line, for the people that don't know, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's only lined a quarter of the way, just up on the shoulders to protect the fabric.
Right.
But it takes a lot more time because they have to put piping on the edges of the fabric so it doesn't fray.
Right.
You know, make it look clean because the client is ultimately going to see that. They said, all right, well, we're making 100,000 suits this month. We can't take the time out to do that. So what can we
right.
do? Oh, colorful lining. Oh, now we could print on the lining.
Yeah.
Now that we can make the lining a customizable option.
I'm kidding. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so it's the progression of it. The reason your grandparents were wearing suits back in the day, or your grandfathers, was because they were unlined. They were unconstructed. They
right.
looked clean, but they were lightweight. They let the wool do its job.
Right. Right.
And that's that.
Man.
So it's.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
No. Yeah. And most people don't. Obviously.
Yeah.
I'm in
definitely
the industry.
Most people don't.
I love what I do, but.
Yeah.
You know, you just read up and stuff and look back into history and say, well, that makes sense now.
Yeah. You know? Oh, man. Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff in the old days, I feel like where style comes into play is when you have a certain style that is just, I think you said it's just timeless.
Yeah.
And it's just a way you approach whatever maybe current fashion there is, and I guess it's your own approach. Mm-hmm. And as far as, like, when you said, you know, if you wore something 15 years ago, you probably shouldn't be wearing it today. I have my own rule, and tell me what you think of this.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something in my closet that I haven't worn in a year, I get rid of it.
Absolutely.
Because I don't know why, like, something will be saying, I'm like, oh, I might wear those for this. And then, like, there have been times where I'll put it back on. I'm like, I can't believe I ever wore these.
Yeah.
Especially, like, jeans nowadays. Like, my jeans feel like they're getting slimmer and slimmer. And then if I look at, like, an old pair and I'm like, this feels really weird
yeah.
that I even wore these.
Yeah.
What brands or, like, things that are out there that kind of, like, inspire you the most? Or, like, what do you keep up with or what do you follow to kind of make sure that you're on top of, like, your best game, I guess?
Yeah. Honestly, all the stuff, like you said, GQ, stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, I've ditched it just because, as we mentioned before, it is so high fashion
so
instead
high
of
fashion. Yeah.
stylish. That, you know, if I brought some of the stuff that I saw in GQ to my clients, they
no,
would stop working
no
with
way.
Me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know? So I follow a lot of Italian tailors, some of the old guys.
Right.
There's Martin Greenfield in New York City. He's an old Jewish guy. He came over from Poland somewhere. He came over and it was just,
mm-hmm.
he started up business and he's been in business forever, 50, 60 years.
Yeah.
Like, he's just one of the old guys in the industry, you know. But I follow a lot of those people just because even though he's been in it for that long, he keeps up with all of the...
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he's not forcing people to stay in with what he's always liked or something like
no,
that.
No, yeah, he comes up with... Obviously, anybody could always match that classic fit, you know, that baggy
yeah.
or the big shoulder pads, all that
for
stuff.
Sure.
But to actually fit a suit to a body is, one, never going to go out of style, and mm-hmm. two, it's always going to be easier, honestly, just because,
yeah,
you know, the body doesn't lie. Like, you're taking measurements, you're looking at their body, you're taking a mental note right. to give to the tailor. And
yeah, that's true. I mean, that's not even exaggerating whatsoever. Like, custom fit clothing will never go out of style.
No, never. The guys that I follow on Instagram, like from Europe and stuff like that, you know, Europe's always going to be at least 5 years ahead of us in fashion.
Right.
It is what it is. Like, it's the Italians mainly, you know, especially.
I was
going to
say, is there anywhere particular in Europe that you kind of hone in on?
Yeah.
Like, would it be Italy?
Italy definitely for me, you know, obviously. Yeah. Nunziato, I'm an Italian, so
sure.
I like to look back to the mother country for the stuff like
sure,
that.
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, there's Savile Row in London is, you know, so I guess a little backstory on the both of those. So Savile Row in London, they have all the old fabrics. You know, these people are making fabrics since 1600s, 1800s. Like,
jeez.
You know, they've been in business that long. And there's actually one company that I do carry, Dorme. It's a famous fabric, you know, a lot of tailors use it all across the world.
Yeah.
And it's actually still run by the same family, but they started in 1842, I want to say.
Wow.
You know, they've gone through all the ups and downs of everything, all world history, you know, so.
And it's just passed, like it's a family business,
yep.
you said, so it's
yeah,
just generation after generation.
Yeah, the CEO's name is Dominic Dorme still, you know, it's still in his family, which is absolutely insane.
That's incredible.
Yeah, those London and those guys that have suits in London, they really do the more structured suits. So it's, you know, it's a classic business suit. You know, it's stripes. It's, you know, the canvas inside the jacket. So on the chest piece is structured. You know, it's
right.
It looks clean on your body. Obviously, it's the fit is impeccable. But
yeah,
you could tell that. There's some enhancements versus a Neapolitan style jacket. Obviously, coming from Naples, it's unstructured, so there's no canvas in there. It's literally almost like a shirt that they just put on you with a couple buttons in the front and
right.
lapels. You know,
so
it's personally I like that style. I'm a bigger guy, so I sweat a lot. So it's nice just to have no lining, just the fabric. And,
oh, yeah.
And wool is like nature's Under Armour, honestly.
Sure, yeah, definitely.
So, you know, it's antimicrobial. It's sweat wicking on all that stuff. So
it's naturally all those things?
Yep. So
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. So it's like you ever have wool socks and you wear them for a couple
of
days and they don't
snow?
Yeah. It's
like,
literally because of that.
Like cabin socks kind of. Those kind of
exactly.
socks that you wear.
But then you have other cotton socks that just reek after one day
right.
using them.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense. Well, you know, the more you know.
That's it.
That's the whole purpose of this thing. So I can learn something and everyone listening can learn something too. Personally, what are you a fan of when it comes to like a more casual dress? Like when you're not in your own suits,
mm-hmm.
I want to say weekend wear, but I wouldn't go as far as saying that you probably don't wear a suit on the weekends because I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
So I'm like curious as to what your casual but still stylish looks are when it's not a suit.
Yeah. Honestly, the hardest things are the hot days. So obviously, last thing I want to wear is pants. Last thing I want to wear is a long sleeve shirt.
Right.
I usually just throw on, you know, some nice loafers, some casual loafers.
Yep.
And, you know, there's differences that I can get into forever, but
like drivers.
Yeah. Drivers.
Yes.
Like
I just bought
shoots,
a pair of drivers.
Yeah. The boat shoes, stuff like that. And casual loafers versus dress loafers. It's all about the leather. It's all about the sheen of them.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. But, I'll throw on some loafers, a pair of, relatively shorter shorts, you know, probably 3 inches above the knee,
right.
I'd say.
So what is that? Like an 8-inch inseam?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah.
8-inch inseam.
Yeah.
See,
I know.
Yeah, you got it down right there.
I know. I got a few 8s in my closet.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then if I look back like a year or two, I had all 10s,
mm-hmm.
which maybe hit right at the knee or maybe
like right
the middle of my
it,
kneecap. Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
And so I've gone up a little bit, so.
Yeah, and it's honestly, I throw that on, then I throw a dress shirt on, not a dress shirt, but a casual shirt with a light fabric and just roll up the sleeves pretty much.
Casual shirt with buttons or?
Yeah, a button-down shirt.
I feel like nowadays, like if I have a casual outfit, What do you feel about people who wear long sleeve with shorts? Does that matter?
No, I do it all the time, honestly.
Because I'll do like just like a really thin, like if I'm just like hanging out at home or like with family, just running outside or whatever, like with my daughter and my wife and everything, I'll put on like a Henley, just like a super thin mm-hmm. one that just rolls up, but I'll have shorts on at the same time, and I'm like, okay, am I cold or am I not cold?
Yeah, no,
I always wondered about that.
Yeah, that's fine. Honestly, I usually roll up the sleeves. I do.
100%. I always roll up.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a little bit more stylish, honestly. You know, because the only
dress button downs.
Yeah, even button downs. Yeah. I do it all the time, honestly. Yeah. I have shirts with just like a band collar or like a Mandarin collar, so it's without the folding collar.
Right, I guess.
You know, I throw that on completely casual. Throw that on, roll up the sleeves, put some shorts on, and it's a great look just because, you know, it's one. It's a fitted shirt, obviously. For mine, it's a custom shirt, so it's fitted well. I don't know, man. You could definitely just get away with it wherever you're going, even if it's a little bit dressed up places, you know, and you could get away with it there or dinner, you know, especially I was just in Cape Cod. Mm-hmm. I threw that on right away. And
oh, yeah, that'd be perfect.
Walking in, I was the best dressed person in there just
for sure.
Because everybody else comes in T-shirts and, you know, flip flops and stuff like that. And it's all about how you present yourself, man. Honestly, mm-hmm. I've been in airports and gotten my flight bumped up just because the way I was dressed. Like, and it's... I don't even want to say it's unfortunate because it's not. You know, it's you dress the part and
I used to people fly, take notice. Just try to be comfortable, and then I like started kind of like thinking about it. Of course, it took me until I was in my 30s to start doing it, but
yeah, no,
it was just kind of crazy for you to like have like this knowledge and this like expertise and this like awareness at your age and already have your own business. So I mean, I think you're in a lucky position because it's not like you are this age and trying to figure out what you're going to do, mm-hmm. which most people are at 24 for sure. Oh, do you wear a watch? How many watches do you have? Do you always wear a watch when you're, I don't know, going out wherever it may be?
I pretty much wear a watch everywhere all the time, honestly.
And so I used to wear my watch on my right hand because it was just easier for me to go like that, but I'm right-handed.
It's a little odd, yeah.
Is it odd? Because I did that for, like, my whole... Like, I've been wearing a watch since I was, like, 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I had, like, you know, old Casio watches, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll feel completely naked if I don't have a watch on, unless I'm just, like, running a quick errand or something. But it wasn't until, like, I met my wife where she's like, why is your watch on the right hand? And I'm like, I don't know. It's easy for me to do this and, like, look at the time. And then I looked at it, and I had, like, a... It was a stainless steel band. It was from Guess. Because I used to work at Guess in the gallery. There used to be a Guess in the gallery mall. Mm-hmm. And I worked there, and I bought a watch there. But then when I look at it, it was so banged up because I used my right hand to, like, open doors, to do everything. So it was, like, getting all messed up. And then I, like, made the switch to my left wrist. You know, I'm glad I did it. Freeze up my right hand. It definitely felt weird for, like, the first month, maybe. Yeah. But, I was just curious if that's even, like, not a rule, but just what most people do.
It's definitely not a rule. I mean, completely honest. Like you said, you've been wearing a watch since you've been 8 or 9. Like, I'm probably right in the same boat, maybe a little later, like 11 or 12 or something.
Yeah.
And, I swear to God, this is the reason I wear it on my left wrist, or my left wrist, because one time it was, like, James Bond, Pierce Brosnan. He had the watch where it shot a laser out.
Yeah.
And it was on his left wrist, so I was... automatically, like, I was like, all right, well, yeah, if he's doing it, exactly. I had to wear it on my left wrist. And luckily enough, it was, you know, not the correct wrist, but, you know, the most, I guess, used wrist for a watch. So that's why I started wearing it on that side.
No kidding. I feel like sometimes I'd wear it, like, I still wanted to wear it on my right, and I'd see something where I'm like, well, Ryan Gosling, he's got it on his right hand.
Yeah.
So maybe it's fine. And I'm sure it is. Like, it's not like, like you said, it's not really a rule, but it just kind of functionally makes sense. Just to put it on the opposite wrist of, like, your dominant hand.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, I absolutely love my watches. When I was younger, I was saving up to buy my brother's car, actually. And at this time, I was working at Napa Auto Parts, and I was just working like a dog, getting paid really well for my age, and right out of high school. So I had all this money saved up, right? And my family actually went to Italy. first time I've ever been to Europe, and I was
I was going to ask you if you had gone back there.
Oh yeah,
not gone back, but
yeah,
went there.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It was the best time, absolutely.
How many times have you been there?
I went to Italy and then Barcelona. So that's Barcelona, awesome. Obviously, is just a city, but Italy, yeah. I went a bunch of places. Where in Barcelona, I was just in the city.
Did you go to Tuscany?
Yep.
Did you ride a scooter?
No scooters.
No scooters? Did you see a lot of scooters?
Saw a lot of scooters.
Yeah.
A lot of small cars. Actually, my fair share of big cars and small streets, honestly. I was impressed. I'll be completely honest.
I really want to take my family to Italy someday and just ride scooters everywhere.
You have to.
With, like, short shorts.
Oh, the shortest of shorts. We're talking 8-inch inseam.
Short shorts.
We're talking six now.
Like a, 6-inch inseam and then, like, a scarf, a real fitted short sleeve button down, rolled up on the sleeves, real tight. And then like button down just halfway.
And a cigarette that you're not even smoking.
Yeah, a cigarette that I'm not even smoking and sunglasses and some loafers of some sort and just having a ball. I was going to say that's my dream. It's not really my dream, but I definitely want to go there someday. Yeah.
You still want to do it.
Yeah. So anytime I picture that place, I'm like, man, I want a scooter. I don't know if I'd ride a scooter around here.
No, you only get a month and a half use out of it.
No,
probably.
No.
So
I know, no, but that seems like the best place to do it.
When we were there, though, I was like, I need something to remember this trip by. Obviously, the memories, obviously, I was going to have. But
so you started smoking.
No. So I was looking at my dad, and I was like, I really want to get this watch. I went to the Omega store, and my brother's always been into watches. So yeah. he's like, this is great. Great watch. He's like, check this out. And, you know, it felt great, too. I was younger.
Yeah. Felt heavy.
Oh, yeah. The girl came out. She had the white gloves on, the whole
thing.
Oh,
the whole deal.
Yeah. So it was actually bring up that story. That's actually pretty crazy. So I'm in the store. My brother at the time was learning how to speak Russian. And the girl put her business card down, like, after we kind of finished the deal.
Yeah.
And her last name was clearly, you know, Eastern European.
Right,
some descent. And he said something to her in Russian, just like kind of like
randomly. And she perked up.
Yeah, she looked at him responded to him.
Really?
And like they started talking in Russian, which was just like we were all sitting there around the watch talking.
Wow,
and
that's bizarre.
And then at the time, I think I was 18.
Yeah, I was gonna say, how old were you when you went there?
18. I think that 18 probably, sweet. And 19 maybe. And I was like, Dad, my credit card can't even handle that.
Right.
So I was
like,
Dad, can you help me out here? Just put it on the card. He's like, yeah, of course. Put his card down, gave it to the girl, and she looked up at him like with a, like almost like a puzzled face.
Right.
And she said, Nunziato. She's like, that's my husband's last name. Like, just completely,
really?
Letter for letter.
Which is your last name.
Yeah, which is obviously mine. And she's like, we're all like, really? And he's like, yeah, his family's from Naples, which my great-grandparents were from Naples.
Yeah.
So it was like,
I feel a connection coming.
Yeah, no, it was just, no, I wish. It would have been crazy,
God.
But like, just that alone, we're
she
all
She would
like,
have been like, put the card away, it's on the family.
Yeah,
yeah.
I wish. Yeah. But no, after that, we're like, it was just a crazy story. And then,
that's awesome.
I guess probably a month or two later, my brother actually, my grandfather gave us an Omega watch back in the day. And
that's awesome.
You could send back the serial number for like their archives.
Mm-hmm.
So we did it. And they got back to us, and we actually saw he bought his Omega watch in Italy in 1945 when he was over there for World War II.
Oh, my God.
So it was like all the connections compared. Like my brother speaking to that girl, her husband's last name, and then like my grandfather bought his watch
crazy.
Over there too. So it was like I'll never, ever get rid of that watch. And
so you have that watch now from the one from the 40s or the one when you were 18?
My brother has the one from the 40s, and then I have the one, obviously, that I bought. And the Omega Speedmaster.
That's awesome.
I'll never get rid of that thing. That's a family heirloom now. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of watches, which is more of a current event, did you see the watch that Odell Beckham Jr. wore his game?
Oh, yeah, Richard Mille?
The Richard Mille was a 350 mm-hmm. grand watch. The McLaren, I think it was a flyback or something. I don't know I forget the name, but that was
during the game.
Impressive. it almost goes into the what is it? Weird Flex?
Oh, yeah. Weird Flex.
Weird Flex, but okay. Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I can't believe he wore that. And I don't know. I mean, obviously he's, you know, showing off the dollars he makes, but.
Of course.
That was wild. But
I could picture something way beyond that. I could picture Richard Mille reaching out to him and saying, listen, do this. Yeah, you're going to get fined $80,000.
Right.
Listen, we'll give you the watch and we'll give
you
the
$80,000.
Dude,
they got so much attention from it.
Oh, everybody's talking about it.
Tons of people have never heard of that watch company.
No.
And now they know who they are. I mean, not that the majority of us can afford a Richard Mille because they're insane. There was some sports show on today where the guy was one of the ESPN shows, one of the sports shows, mm-hmm. and he just started talking. He's like, I don't even know what that was until now. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm like,
well, now it's on his radar. He makes the money. He can go get it. You know,
If it was a move that was like a collaborative move between Odell and Richard Mille, then
good on him.
Props to them. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love a nice watch. I've had this one. This is a Hamilton, which is a more affordable piece, mm-hmm. maybe like $350 or so. But, I see a lot of guys wear it, and I'm going to take a risk because I don't know if you like this watch brand or not, but I just think they're boring, but a lot of people have them. Movado.
Yeah, I know. I know exactly.
I'm not a fan. I know, like, I have, like, some friends with like, Movados, and it's just the flat timepiece with, like, the diamond, I guess, at the 12 spot.
It's a CZ at the top of the 12. Yeah,
right.
And I guess no judgment to it. I just, it's not for me, you know,
yeah,
and
I'm
not sitting here saying that I have to have the loudest timepiece, but
no,
have something with a little bit of substance to it. I don't know. It's just,
When I went and got this one, I just wanted something that was like classic. Mm-hmm. I can wear with anything. I bought a few like NATO straps so I can like switch it out. But, the Hamilton leather is like impeccable because it's lasted maybe probably 3 or 4 years at this point, and it's just a solid piece.
You can't argue with that.
So I have a few just like bullet points of things that people do, mm-hmm. and you let me know what you think of it, or if it's doable, or if it's just a not like judging someone that does it, but just mm-hmm. like your subjective view on it.
Personal,
I guess.
Opinion.
Sneakers with suits, and I see Jerry Seinfeld do it all the time, mm-hmm. and he can do whatever he wants because he's a millionaire and that's what he does. But I don't think I could ever wear sneakers with a suit. Yeah. Like the big, like Air Shocks, like Nike Air Shocks, like the clear soles.
Personally hate it.
Yeah.
Even the Jordan movement, people argue that they're patent leather. It's still a sneaker. I mean, if you're going to wear a suit.
You see it on the red carpet. There's
you always see it on the red carpet all the time. Yeah. Yeah. And,
but I mean, if you're a rock star, you can, basically do whatever you want.
You're probably not even wearing a suit at that point. You're just wearing whatever you wear on stage.
Exactly.
Or people recognize you from that.
Exactly.
But it's, the socks with the shoes, sneakers with a suit is just, I personally just don't like it. If you're going to wear a suit, be clean, be presentable, and pull that thing off.
It's like they're trying to be ironic or something. I don't know.
It's just, it doesn't work. Like, it's, you can't even tell me that it's like much more comfortable either. It's like, it is what it is. It's their shoes. Like if you don't have comfortable shoes, get some.
I was about to say, then you need a comfortable pair of shoes. How about, and I know this is doable, but are there any color combinations that you should stay away from as far as different color jacket to pants?
Jacket to pants, I'm big on wearing suit separates.
Yeah.
I'm big on it. I actually, every time I go to make my own suit, I write down literally a whole grid of the suits that I have.
Right.
And the suits that I'm looking at, the fabric swatches that I'm looking at.
So you can make the most out of combinations.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to get a bright orange suit then I'm going to wear once in a while and something that loud people are going to notice when I wear it.
Right.
You know, you wore that 2 weeks ago or you wore that last week.
Yeah, for sure.
So I literally write down everything and I'll wear the full suit on one day in the same week. I'll wear the full suit on one day and then maybe a day or two later or end of that week.
One of those
pieces.
I'll
wear just the pants with another jacket or just the jacket with another pair of pants.
Yeah.
Honestly, just stay away from...
Blue and black?
Yeah, even, I mean, honestly, I have a ton of fabrics that are blue and black.
Like the fabric itself? Yeah. What about like a solid blue jacket with black pants?
Yeah, no, don't do that for the majority. You know, it's...
But if there's like something inside the blue, like in the pattern, I guess. Yes,
if it's in like, you know...
In the fabric?
Not the pattern, but if it's like a check or a stripe or something like that, that's
a polka dot.
Yeah, anything like... Yeah, sure. If you got it.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, then go ahead and do it. But one thing is just to make sure you just stay away from going too close, because I have a couple suits that are like too close to each other to be in the same patterns, or too far opposite of being the same patterns that that it would just look silly.
Yeah.
But a lot of, you know, personal favorite look of mine is wearing some of the louder pants that I have, you know, big check pattern, loud colors, and then a plain jacket.
Yeah.
People just, it just stands out to people differently than, you know, the opposite.
Yeah. Would you feel you wear black shoes or brown shoes more often?
Absolutely. Like the tan, like the cognac color.
Yeah. Yeah. Same with me. I used to
almost
be
just
black shoe. Like when I was like 19, 20, like going to work, I'm like, I'm going to wear black shoes.
Yeah.
And I'm completely changed over to brown.
Yep.
Yeah. More just of like a cognac or like a, I think Cole Haan has a color called British tan.
Yep.
Yeah. Same here with brown shoes.
No, absolutely.
With dress shirts, I don't feel, this is a personal opinion, but I wouldn't wear a dress shirt with a crew neck undershirt.
No.
I usually wear a, it's like a slim fit moisture wicking V-neck, just so I can have a button or two down and you don't see a shirt underneath it.
Yeah.
There's that, and then I'm sure people wear like tank tops too, like muscle shirts.
Yeah, like the wife beaters.
But yeah, but I feel like sometimes I have too much ridge to it, like on the straps, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I try to wear, like my undershirt right now is like super, super flat. It's like tight to my body. It's almost like an Under Armour, like not a bodysuit, but just something that's like almost like skin tight, just so it's not like, you know, creating extra folds in my dress shirt or whatever.
Yeah. Personally, I haven't worn a dress shirt in forever, or an undershirt. I haven't worn one in forever.
Well, what's the material you have? What's the shirt brand that you use the most, or one that has like a moisture?
Yeah. So Mizzen and Main is a big, it's a company out of Texas and Made in America, the whole thing they got going for them. And it's essentially, I really describe it as like a performance dress shirt.
Right. It's got like that stretch to it.
Machine washable. Four-way stretch, all of it. So it's, if honestly, the majority of my clients that have them, they just say, I feel like I'm not even wearing a shirt. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, they love it. I love to sell it. So it's...
I think the four-way stretch or any kind of stretch is like a game changer when it comes to someone trying out a new kind of fit.
Yeah.
Like before I was wearing like slim jeans, like I would have like a slimmer pair of jeans, but they weren't stretch, and I'm like, these are so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Or like a dress shirt.
Just the raw denim.
Yeah, just like raw denim, and I'm like, this is not gonna work. I recently just bought some stretch jeans that are like amazing. I remember I was photographing a wedding, and I wore a slim fit like H&M dress shirt that did not have stretch to it, and it was like the worst mistake of my life because I couldn't raise my elbows like over my shoulders when I had to take like pictures like over my head. So yes, I think people who should, you know, if they're looking for like slim fit or like even like custom stuff, like look for that stretch, because I think that's it's a major game changer in my book.
Yeah, like even a lot of the swatches and fabrics that I have now for the custom side, a lot of them are starting to have, you know, it's 98% cotton, 2% lycra, or 2% spandex, or nylon, something like that. Just it, you know, people get all bent out of shape and they're like, oh, but it's not 100% cotton. Usually the cotton ones are the worst wrinkles. Like they hold wrinkles like you wouldn't imagine.
Yeah.
And just that 2% of a synthetic knocks out most of the wrinkles, and on top of it, it adds just that little bit of stretch that you need.
Just that 2% will probably make that shirt quote unquote wrinkle free.
Almost.
As far as like, you know, like bending an elbow, and then all of a sudden you got, you know, 1,000 wrinkles that stay there all day.
Yeah, crease, yeah.
If you're looking for a custom suit, whether it be for work, a wedding, or some kind of major event, come and see Mark at Washington Street.
Appreciate it. Come on by.
Zio and Co. So thanks, Mark, for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time.
You have tuned into The Microphone.